Have you heard anything else from Rome? Is he still coming?
I have not.
Okay. Okay. He's calling in. Mr. Chairman. Well, we're going to end up calling you instead of so. Okay, you've got a quorum. You're ready to go.
Well, we got everybody.
Yes, sir.
You're in there okay?
Get my eyes clear before I can read what's going on here.
You need to clean your glasses.
I'm sorry?
You need to clean.
No, I just, my eyes are water.
Okay,
I'm going to call the meeting to order. And as required by state law, this meeting is open to the public by telephonic communications. The college is complying with the suspended proceedings of the Open Meetings Act in accordance with Section 418.016 of the Texas Government Code. Members of the public are entitled to participate in the meeting and may attend in person or through remote connections. And this time, Mr. Cavio has agreed to give us our invitation.
Prayers for all the going home, Lord, and ask that you watch over them over some time and bring it back to the happy. Thank you so much for the rain, for the nourishment of the land, Lord, and I ask that you watch over all those families, all the troops that are great and so pray all the saints and sons and
sons. Thank you. This time the board will hear comments and questions from individuals who have not requested a specific place on the agenda and want to address the board. And I do not see anyone that wants to do that. So therefore, we will move on to the agenda items. First one, the routine matter. You've had a chance to read those, I believe. We'll go through them. I'll need a motion to approve those routine matters. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. No unfinished business. In the new business, we have vision and future direction in the district COVID-19 response status.
All right. Board members, in your packet, you have the latest information, and you can tell that there's not much to add this time in the blue. Basically, what we're dealing with at this point in time are the grants and the reporting that goes along with those. And Brenda and team are monitoring that very closely. We are going to be asking and are in the process of asking for an extension on the HERF monies because of the fact that our distance learning rooms, the equipment, will not be here by the deadline in June. And so we, as many other colleges, are asking for extensions because of similar situations. So we're having to turn in the appropriate information for that. And so that will be for the duration of, I think it's a year. Is that right, Brenda? We asked for a year extension. And so we anticipate that we will get the rooms in place by January of 24, but and there may be some other items that we also include that will be appropriate. So that would be the status. I would also bring up the fact, as I mentioned in your memo, we are nearing, we think, a time that our governor may lift the declaration, emergency declaration. He did renew it on May 15th. He has made it clear since the beginning of the session that he is waiting for some legislation to go through and be passed that would monitor how situations are handled during a pandemic. And so best guess is as soon as that is passed, then he will begin to lift the declaration. The The national declaration was lifted on May 11th, but we are following what is happening in Texas, obviously. And so we will continue to give you this response status update, as we told you from the very first one. We're on number 37, hard to believe. But when we started it, we told you that we, as a part of the governor's emergency declaration, we would give you monthly updates until that was lifted. So we will continue to do that and anticipate that could be very soon. Once that happens, and we actually were already working on moving back into your regular meeting room, so we will be going back into the boardroom, and, of course, obviously you've been having your meals in the tumbleweed room, and we will begin to try to get some normalcy for the board meetings. We are also, let me define that, Eric and team, are working on making the room, I'm going to call it Zoom friendly, so that in the event that someone needs to participate virtually, they can do that. There are specific laws in place already about people being able to participate virtually, and obviously we will be following all of those. And at the same time, we've been watching to see if anything would change during the session relative to how open meetings could be conducted with members wanting to participate remotely. At this point, I don't see any change that is coming through. I could have missed that, but I don't see anything. And so we will be following rules that are already in place. So that's kind of where we are on the COVID-19.
Thank you. Okay, our next item, I believe, Terry's going to give us an update on the master plan.
The master plan process, it's actually a collaboration between myself and Phil Firk from the architect. And life happens, and it happened in Phil's case. He had several major family events that kind of derailed us for a little bit in the last 2 or 3 months. And so we've decided to postpone any further work until fall. And what's been done today really is just prep work. We've looked at numerous other college master plans, including Howard College's that was done in 2007. There's several parts of that we liked, and there's several parts of it that we didn't like. We're going to try to capitalize on the good and maybe pick up a couple of pieces that we liked that we saw in some other master plans. And so we will be, Dr. Sparks will be talking about the focus meetings, and we're going to be gathering a large amount of data from both the board meetings and roundtables, student roundtables, and faculty and staff meetings as well. So all that will go into the mix. We'll be doing a survey. The survey that was done in 2007 was 67 questions long. It was a tad bit long. So we're going to try to keep this one 10, 12, 15 questions maybe. I think right now it's at 12. You know, we might add or change a little bit, but as we get closer. But anyway, the goal is we will try to be finished by the end of December. It's going to be hundreds of hours of work that will go into that, so not sure it's not the kind of thing that you can just devote 40 hours a week to. There's between the meetings and all those kind of things, it's just, you know, we're just going to have to do it as fast as we can. We'll try to be finished by the end of the year. I'm not sure that's doable, but we're going to give it a shot. So anything else you'd like from me to?
I don't think so. Just reiterate for the board, this facilities master plan will be district-wide. Every campus will have its own part of it. And many could think that you would not use a facilities master plan, but we truly have used the last one we had. And Terry put something together, a deferred maintenance plan. Y'all see that every year annually as a part of what we do with the budget work, and it'll tie into the master plan as well. So
it was not part of the other master plan, but it was more or less a subset to it.
Right.
And it's dovetailed really well, so we'll be including that.
Yeah. Okay.
Very good. Thank you, Terry. Okay, our next item is a resolution for Roger Klein.
Yes. Board members, as you all know, actually at the last board meeting, we were honoring the passing of Roger Klein at his funeral locally. And this is a resolution in memory of Roger. And so I'll just read it. Resolution in memory of Roger Duane Klein. May 22, 2023, whereas the famous journalist Edward R. Murrow once said, to be persuasive, we must be believable. To be believable, we must be credible. We must be truthful. And whereas Roger Duane Klein, managing editor of the Big Spring Herald, a job he loved, passed away unexpectedly on April the 19th, 2023. And whereas Roger Klein embodied the qualities of a conscientious reporter and friend of Howard College for many years. His passing is deeply felt by all who knew him and loved him, and he will be remembered for his dedication to journalism and his unwavering commitment to the truth. And whereas Roger's devotion to journalism and the Big Spring community was admirable, as demonstrated by his many years of service to the Big Spring Herald. And whereas Roger's commitment to education was also evident, having served as a teacher's aide and substitute teacher in the past. And whereas Roger's devotion to his family and beloved pets was unwavering and inspirational. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Howard County Junior College District extends the deepest sympathy to Roger's family, friends, colleagues, and all who knew and loved him, and be it further resolved that we honor Roger's legacy of journalistic excellence, commitment to the truth, unwavering love of family, and that his contributions to the Big Spring community and beyond will not be forgotten, impacting lives in ways he will never know. And upon your approval, then we will get this resolution to the family.
To have a motion to approve the resolution? Have a motion to have a second? Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion carries. All right.
Board members, I might just mention that Andrea is over here, and she at this time is going to be our representative from the Herald, and we appreciate her.
Hey, Andrea. Glad to have you. Thank you. All right, next item, nothing for Big Spring, Lamisa, but we have some signs low.
Yes, sir. And board members, as you know, as a part of your goals, you wanted to have focused meetings this next year, and our first one will be on June the 14th. The fact that it is outside of the taxing district, it will be a special meeting. It will not be one of your normal meetings where you handle your general business, but it will be a special meeting that will be focused totally on our San Angelo campus. And as you know, we'll be doing one of these for each of the campuses. The others will follow in the fall. And actually, after this year, we will, assuming you continue to want to have these focused meetings, we will schedule them where they're all in the fall. But due to the fact that we're very excited to be launching our 50th anniversary of our San Angelo campus, and we want to get that going, it seemed appropriate to go ahead and do it in June. So June 14th was the date, as you remember, that you agreed that could work for you. And so we have already reached out to several individuals that will be honored that day. As you know, not only, and we've got gave you a draft agenda of the day, we will have the launch of the 50th anniversary and have a ribbon cutting with the chamber. We will then also have the two resolutions that honor the one for City of San Angelo and one for Shannon Medical Center, recognizing their COVID-19 response. We'll have the presentation of the resolution honoring Mark McLaughlin on his endowment. Today, we're asking you to approve a resolution to the Home Builders Association in appreciation of their support for the trades building. And then we'll also have the opportunity to recognize some of our faculty, staff, students on some special awards and things that they've accomplished. will finish with a state of the Howard College San Angelo campus. And all of this, we will have lunch at 11 for those individuals that are going to be honored. It'll be a light lunch. And then at noon on the hour, we will begin the state or the meeting. The goal is to have the meeting done by 1 o'clock so that we can have tours of the campus as well. We've invited several guests from the community and are getting response from those individuals, so we anticipate that we'll have a good crowd, and it'll give us an opportunity to, at the very end, did include communication to the board as an agenda item in the event that there's somebody that wants to share something with the board. So this is your first one. So this is kind of, again, the draft, and I think it's going to, we'll see. We may adjust it going forward, but and you may have some feedback you want to share today. But that's the game plan right now. And we'll talk to you about how you want to travel and all that next. Okay?
All right. Thank you. All right. Our next item is building update.
All right. As mentioned, we want to recognize the Home Builders Association of San Angelo for their help in our quest to get another lab building for our San Angelo campus. As you know, we are fortunate that we have our building trades in one of the labs right now, but we see a growing need in the San Angelo community for plumbing and electrical, and we have a lot of support in the community to make that happen. So the Home Builders Association has been very involved in helping us raise funds. The Day of Giving for the San Angelo community was very successful for our campus, and we raised a little over $30,000. Home Builders had a big part in that as far as the money they gave, and then a matching and encouraging people. At the same time, we have at their, they brought to our attention, Lowe's has a program that will also fund projects like this. So we have submitted a grant. Nicole has submitted the grant for us, and we have a very good chance that we could get that, and that we're on the third level of that right now. Could hear something, well, we know we'll hear something in June. We're hoping that we'll hear something before the June 14th. And so there's a lot going on with building changes that can be anticipated in the future, so we'll keep you up to speed as things are happening, but we'll give you that update. Which then, Mr. Chairman,
okay,
moves right into the resolution that we would ask that you pass that relates to all of this, and again, it's for the Home Builders Association of San Angelo. And I can read this real quick. Whereas Margaret Mead said, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. And whereas the Home Builders Association of San Angelo, HBA, and its members embody the spirit of committed citizenship through their support of Howard College in San Angelo. And whereas Kristen Oliver, Executive Officer of the HBA, brought the idea of supporting Howard College to the HBA board and board members and tirelessly promoted it at HBA events and in monthly email newsletters. And whereas through her efforts and those of the HBA pledged to give $10,000 in matching funds at the Day of Giving and donated the entire amount. And whereas Brian Benson of the HBA Board of Directors had pledged to build a building for Howard College San Angelo at cost, and whereas the Howard County Junior College District is grateful for the support of the HBA and its members in providing necessary resources to empower students to succeed and achieve their dreams. Be it therefore resolved that the Board of Trustees of the Howard County Junior College District expresses its heartfelt gratitude to the Home Builders Association of San Angelo and its members for their generous support of Howard College in San Angelo. Your commitment to empowering students to overcome obstacles and achieve their dreams is an inspiration to us all, and we're honored to have you as partners in our mission.
All right, thank you. We'll need a motion to approve this resolution. Have a motion, have a second. Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Next item is for SWID, naming a space for Burke Administration Building.
Yes, sir. I might just, not to embarrass him, but also to welcome him. Jeff Anderson is here today, and he is our new interim provost for the SWID campus, and has taken up the place of Danny very quickly. And so welcome, Jeff. Also, I need to apologize to Renee. I think I might have been speeding a little, a bit on that resolution, but you can handle it. But anyway, we really are excited about Jeff being here and a part of our group. So with that, the naming of the space relates to Danny Campbell's retirement. And as you know, 43 years of dedicated service to the district. But even though he retired being the provost, his love was always in instruction. And so we felt, and actually I want to give credit to Jeff. Jeff was the one that came up with this idea, the biology lab, felt like that would be a great place to name after Danny. And so that space would be the Danny Campbell Biology Lab. We think it's great, great way to show appreciation for the many years that Danny dedicated to the success of SWID and HC students. So we just need that to be affirmed.
All right. Thank you. Do I have a motion to approve this resolution?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I have a pro motion. Have a second?
Aye.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. All right. Next item is advisory council meeting membership.
All right.
For SWID.
Again, we are moving things right along. As you know, we have a SWID advisory council, and this group has been in place for many years. They generally meet on an annual basis. We had some challenges during COVID that ended up impacting the way we could meet, and so we've mainly had virtual meetings over the last few years. But we are, just like everything, we're trying to get everything back to normal as much as possible, and people are having more comfort about traveling because a lot of these members are from out of state, and so they do fly in and go through some of the major airports. And so we had a Zoom call just last week to discuss a couple of new members, and those members are Dr. Isaiah Mason. She's with Mason Global. She has an international presence. She has actually been on the board before, as well as Dale Kesterson. Dale was actually previously one of our faculty members. And so this is just an informational. That group adds their members, but we like to keep you informed about what's happening with the SWID Advisory Council. And so they will, right now we're planning on a meeting in late September, or early November. And again, we're going to allow for that to be a Zoom option, although we're going to try to get those people on campus. We think it's time, and they're ready as well. So we'll keep you informed as we get more information on that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
How often do they meet?
They have met once a year, but we actually talked about at the last meeting that we're changing it up. In the past, they generally would come in the spring, but we've decided that having the on-site meeting in the fall made sense, as well as a Zoom option in the spring so that we can be touching base with them twice a year. These people are very busy. I don't know if you noticed, but they are involved, many of them. One's the superintendent of the California School for the Deaf. One is involved with Southern Regional Sales Manager for Sorenson Communications. So you've got people that are all over all of the country that would be flying in, and so and they're busy people. And so we thought the fall might be a better time for them. So that's what we're doing.
All right. Thank you. All right. Next item is performance major outcomes. Access students, success, community and workforce development, performance excellence, quarterly investment report.
Yes, sir. That's the only one we have for you today. This is the regular quarterly report. Brenda and Jeannie and Steve have all reviewed, prepared this, and can answer any questions you might have.
Any questions? Okay, move on to our next item, which is purchasing. Done there, so we'll go to handbook and catalog.
All right. We just have a few catalog and handbook changes that are included in your packet today. We have just handbook procedures. Basically, when we're hiring new employees and making sure that we go ahead and check for any outstanding charges when they are hired. So this is a lot of bookkeeping over several different policies. That's what that is about. Then the other also relates to online training that's required for non-members. As far as they have to complete annual online training, and 9.7, this has to do just with, this, again, online training as well, just doing some handbook cleanup.
Okay.
And then catalog. In the catalog, we have some fees that relate to Surge Tech. Again, this reflects just what the costs are for those kit fees. I meant to say cosmetology. A&P, there's some changes that relate to curriculum. You can see those in the different areas in yellow. Some are struck to include the registered medical assistant, IT, visual communications. Amy, I just kind of ran through that. Anything else you'd say? Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Need a motion to approve these changes. Have a second. A motion to have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Moving on to our next item, construction and renovation projects. Library.
All right. And so I would ask Terry, and I know Fabian will have a little bit to say as well. I think he will. Maybe. About landscaping.
Well, I assume you saw the report, the May report on construction. We've made a lot of progress in the last 4 weeks. It seems like when you get to the end of these kind of projects and the finish work starts being done, bathroom tile, the ceiling grid, the millwork, the door frames, and those kinds of things, it starts coming together. A lot of the infrastructure work, building of walls and tearing down of walls in some cases, and all that seems to go pretty slow. But we're at the part now that we're clicking things off the list. The music building, according to David Sheldon, our project manager, he's expecting the music building to be through by the end of June, which is roughly what we expected. There is one exception to that. The rooftop heating and air conditioning unit manufacturer was supposed to ship our rooftop heating and cooling units to us, I believe, on the 7th of May, which was several days back. And on the 7th of May, instead of shipping, they gave us notice that delivery, not shipping, but delivery, was delayed to the 7th of August. So what that means is when those rooftop units come in, the building will be done. And it won't be totally without air conditioning because the west side of the building has what they call variable refrigerant flow units. And those units will be in the practice rooms, the hallways, and spaces like that. The building will have some cooling, although it won't be all the way down the east part of the building. There's, you know, it's a material delay that it's beyond our control. I mean, we knew that these units were going to be long lead time items in the very beginning. We looked for a way around it, and it just never could really come up with a good alternate solution. So the bathrooms, all the painting's been done. Just as you saw in the report, there's just a lot of finished work that's going in. I was there this morning, and the workers are cleaning up the building, so that tells you a lot. The library, which should have been a shorter project in a perfect world, is going to probably run about 4 weeks behind music as far as completion. They are doing much of the same work. The bathroom tile is about, it's completely finished in music. It's about two-thirds finished in the library. There's still some painting to be done, a little bit of the light fixtures is a long lead time item for the library. I just saw the report this morning that some of the light fixtures will not be received until the 20th of June. So, again, out of our control, we're at the mercy. We just need them. I really don't know what else to say about the library. It's just, while it's a simpler project, it's been more problematic. That's all I can tell you. But we're going to get there. And we'll get there. David Sheldon told me that his estimated completion date is July 30. So we'll take that. Do you have any questions about any of it?
Terry, the office question. Sorry. Might add that we're also at that point, and I mentioned it in the memo, and actually did not put in red that we would need a vote on the change order part, but we're at a point in a construction project where things can come up while you're going through, and that's what's happening as we're going through and we're looking at things at the library and things at the music building. For example, walking out of the new north door, putting on handrails so that people don't step off concrete. That's an example. Things like that we're seeing that we need to take care of. At the same time, a good change in the library, a little repurposing has happened inside what we were using as basically in the past on the east side. It was kind of a break room for the employees originally, and actually it was one of the alternates in the original plan. We had that side being planned as an area that students could meet or basically have snacks, go in, have a coffee bar, have vending machines, and then have an area on that east side that would then basically, if you're looking outside over here, in the space that is between the main area of the campus to the Coliseum, kind of a picnic type area. And so that was one of the things that we had worked on, but at that point, due to the cost of the project, that was an alternate that was not approved. However, or we didn't recommend and thought that could be done at a later time. In the meantime, as I said, we've had some repurposing, and the library staff, as far as how they're putting things together, could come up with, and let me be real clear, it's mainly been Jill that has been very creative and has come up with a concept that we can go ahead and do that as far as getting the students in that section. And we've been able to do some, as far as repurposing of how we would handle some of the storage in that place. And even there's an office back in that back area, and we're going to have people mainly on the floor. We still have three office spaces, but trying to get people out on the floor. So that has ended up creating a need for updating that space back there. So that would be, there's already a sink and countertop space, and so we need to update that because we're going to have it where students can go in there, get some tables and chairs, have a vending area, which would have been an office, put some vending machines in there. There's a bathroom back there. And so that will create a space in the library where the students can, if they want to have a snack, they can go back in that area, coffee, that kind of thing. And so there's some cost to that, not much, but there's some cost, and we feel like that it's a good move. It's not anywhere near what it would have been because the original alternate included all the landscaping outside and some ramping and those kinds of things. So we're not going to that extent, but going ahead and going down the path. So that's an example of some things. And so I'd like to get, because of, as Terry is sharing, how quickly things are moving on along right now, I'd like to get authority from you all to spend up to, possibly $50,000 or up, and we think it'll be less than that, but because we're having to move quickly, I want to...
We don't actually have that pricing yet.
Right.
I checked this morning.
Yeah. And so Terry has been trying to get that so we could give you a better idea. But initial conversations, we think it will be. But in case it's not, and you all don't meet until the end of June, and we're needing to move this thing along, if you'll give me the authority to keep moving, and then we'll come back and bring it to you in at the June board meeting.
Okay. I have a motion to approve Dr. Sparks with the authority to keep the project moving. I have a motion to second. I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Terry, Fabian, do you want to add anything about any of the landscaping that you guys are beginning to work on?
It's all basically the initial stages. We're just cleaning things up at the moment, and then we'll go back through with Dr. Sparks and his team and identify what we want to plant where, and especially along that north ramp, music building entrance, and a little bit on the library entrance as well too. So
we're getting toward the end where these little finishing touches are coming up. The plaques are being worked on, the lettering. Of course, we anticipate bringing something back to you at the June board meeting relative to the music building. Relative to that, the naming of that building and spaces in that building. And so in the meantime, we are preparing, and I don't know if you've had a chance, if you happen to be in that part of the campus, but they've already removed, the grounds folks have already removed some of the old shrubbery in front of the music building, and it's made a big difference already. So we're trying to take advantage of existing landscaping, but at the same time improving it so it's going to look better. The guys have not been able to, as far as watering, of course, thank goodness, we got the rain, and that's helped. But in front of those two buildings, of course, we've had the fences up and can't get back there and do anything. So now we're trying to start moving into making the landscaping look better and if we keep getting rain, that'll be the natural way to make it even better. So they're working on it. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, next item is Student Information System Project Implementation Update.
Eric and Brian and Amy.
Brian, I'm sorry, Mike, you wasn't coming up here.
I'm Eric.
we started fall registration as the main, I guess, update. Everything went fairly smoothly. And so registration has continued in camps. We've been creating reports and moving some daily processes over to CAMS. Registration and summer is still going through POIS. They're going to finish out the current financial aid year in POIS. They're already working and awarding students into CAMS for the fall, the 23-24 year. And then training is going on for degree audit. We've had a meeting about converting CE over to CAMS starting in the fall. And what else?
Good, yeah, whatever he's saying. Another continuing education module that we're looking at, another opportunity for us to look at what systems are in place and make changes, make, you know, positives. So we're excited about that. And I can't say enough about, and Brian's led a lot of the degree audit. Degree audit is a big deal because that is what we have to have for the financial aid to say yes, we will pay, you know, legally we will pay this. So
for the courses and their degree plan.
Yeah, for the course they have to stay within that degree plan, and so it's not an easy thing at all. And I certainly don't want to make it seem that way. But I've been very proud, and I have not had to get on to people for arguing very much, just a little bit. They've been great, but there are lots of decisions that have to be made. And sometimes, you know, one department, it kind of leads that way more than another, and so you just have to prioritize, but they've been great. We continue to work on the advising piece with our Navigate. There's some things there that are going a little bit slower than we wanted. You know, I don't think it's out of our control, but...
The company is a big company, so they kind of roll along at their own pace. And so we're trying to nudge them along to finish so that the integration for Navigate can be finished, and the data that's being pushed to Navigate every night is coming from CAMS instead of POIS. So that's big for the advising, because that's the tool that they've kind of transitioned to advise students. And so the integration is almost complete. We just need them to sign off that it's complete and to move kind of the flip the switch from POIS to CAMS. And so they've, for whatever reason, been reluctant to do that. And so
that's EAB. EAB is who has Navigate.
And then there's also been a lot of work going on with Nelnet for the billing payments and the payment plans for students. And so I think that's almost complete.
The grades. This morning we made some up. They're making sure the grades now are showing up in CAMS.
So yeah, we're kind of in a weird transition period where there's still information being updated in POIS, and we're live in CAMS, and so there needs to be some merging of data. And so we're sending nightly files to CAMS, and they're pushing new students so that we can see them in CAMS. And then I think he's kind of waiting for all the grades to kind of be finalized. Yeah. And so starting this week or next week, once a week, we'll be pushing like updates from POIS into CAMS. But nightly, new students that come into POIS will get into CAMS. And so, yeah, the EAB and the NELNET are kind of the big ones.
And the state reporting, was he doing more?
There's going to be a lot of meeting this summer over training, faculty training, I know it's come up, and then state reporting is one of those that they're going to start hard in the summer.
So far, people like the way it looks. It's easier to understand. So I think
that
we're
perfect. Might add that we actually annually have to let POIS know what we want as far as what they offer. And actually, Eric, we're dropping some things.
Yeah. Yeah, support.
Mm-hmm. So we're beginning the transition. We're getting there.
The data warehouse. We're moving.
What's the next big integration that CANS has to connect to, like EAB is DovoTech, when that's our data warehouse where we can collect data, analyze data real quickly. It's been great for us in the IE, IR department. And so that's the next big push is transitioning from getting that information from FOIS and the DovoTech to our CANS and then grabbing that information. And so luckily, I think DovoTech has done a couple CANS schools, and so they're aware of how it works. And so we should hopefully, you know, be a summer project, but I think we'll have it over.
They're doing great. Yeah, you can tell. I'm very proud of everybody. These guys right here have been the leaders on it, and then we've got lots of other people that are involved.
Lots of hours of training.
Tremendous.
You know, just there's a CAM support email that they send their growing number of questions, and you know, and patience. It takes a lot of patience because we can't get everything, you know, this one time.
I don't know if Tracy would say this now, but the first day he shared with me that, and some others, that this has been a really good conversion. He was really bragging on our people, so they've done a super job. Okay?
Very good. Thank you. All right. President's report, do you want to take us on down to the end?
I will take you to the end. All right, upcoming activities. You can tell semester is over and we've now moved into the spring. Summer. And so you can see that we don't have as many activities going on, but we're busy. We, of course, have the summer, all the different summer activity sessions that are happening. And we're beginning to have camps, particularly on the Big Spring campus. And you see on your calendar the 14th. And again, we'll visit with you and see how you want to arrange travel and all that. Your next board meeting will be on the 26th of June. And so that's your calendar. Recognitions. I just have to keep saying so very proud of all the graduates that we had through this year, right up to 600 students throughout the entire college district, and that has been very inspiring to watch all those students graduating. At the same time, I want to thank all of you for your participation in the graduations and pinnings. I think everybody, when you see the faces of those students, it helps you know, and those families helps you know, this is why we're doing what we're doing. And not that you forget that, but it really just helps give you that extra boost at this time of year. So we're again, very proud of where we are in this semester and moving forward. And y'all looked really great in your new graduation regalia. I have to keep telling you that. That was good. We also are in the middle of legislative, and let me just give you a real quick update on that. As I shared, House Bill 8 was getting toward the end, and it did pass out of the Senate on, was it Friday? That they did pass on that, and so now we're just in the last parts of that. It'll be going to the governor before too long, and that'll be signed. It was unanimously passed in the Senate, which is a big deal that we've had that kind of support. On the House side, there was only one person who voted against it, and so the support on the House and Senate side has been tremendous for the community colleges, and I think that is reflective of what all the 50 community colleges did to come together and to really help advance the bill. The the floor comment on Friday coming from the Senate, very supportive of the community colleges. So, again, a really good session for the community colleges. At the same time, again, that's the structure, that's the formula bill. Basically, this is a very a tsunami change in the way our funding is going to be appropriated to the different colleges. We're still figuring it out, and that will be going on for the next few weeks, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But we also, as far as the budget bill, that then is the money then that is going to be appropriated and used for House Bill 8 and the way that it'll basically be divvied up amongst the community colleges. As I've mentioned before, Brenda is on that committee of the coordinating board, and they've had, I think, two meetings. They are going to start meeting in earnest between now and July, because at the end of July, the coordinating board is scheduled to meet and to approve rules. Basically, they're suspending the normal process that's used for rulemaking relative to legislation that comes to the coordinating board to put in place, because they want to get everything ready to go by September 1st. So we are literally still finding out exactly how everything is going to work. What we know is that there's a base tier of funding, and that, again, every community college will be getting a certain amount of money. We don't know what that number is yet as far as how they've allocated that, but there's the base tier. Then there, in the base tier, there are certain community colleges, and that would be small and rural, that will have adjustments that will be a part of base tier. We can read the bill and kind of have an idea of how they're going to be looking at that, but we don't know how they've allocated the money for that, so we don't know what the dollars are on that yet. But we, again, that's in the base tier. The performance tier will then be what used to be the old success points, but it's the metrics, and this is where we'll get the majority of our funding, and it will be, there'll be about, we think, about 5% of it will be the old contact hour, and about 95% of it will be outcomes-based. So that's where we'll get the money for the numbers of degrees and certificates and students that meet certain points of success, like 15 hours completion. Again, we're still finding all that out. By having the good fortune of Brenda being on that committee, she is being able to give us first information, and I suspect as time goes on, they'll begin to open those meetings up in different ways. But Brenda is obviously, is just last week in their meeting, we had a scenario that came up relative to SWID, and because it has to do with how they're going to give us the money. In the past, they have given us the money in basically 10 installments, and it's in particular for SWID, if I'm getting this correctly, like the money that we'll get for SWID, we'll get it by September the 25th, but in one lump sum. But for Howard, it'll be three installments, and so and they're still kind of figuring all that out. But specifically, the question came up about SWID. So having Brenda on that committee, they did reach out and ask me that question. Brenda being on that committee then was able to work on it that day. So that's gonna be great for us. So we are at this point, we're cautiously optimistic about the way our funding looks, because remember we had the scenario that we were coming out of the COVID year. In the last session, we had lost a lot of contact hour and money, and that had been basically supplemented by lost revenue payments that we could get from the HERF funds. That, of course, is going away, has gone away, or no, is going away as of June 30. And so we've been a little cautious waiting to see how that was going to work. And so we're cautiously optimistic right now. Brenda is looking at things. We're talking. We're working through it. And by the next time we meet, we'll be able to give you better information on that. The fact that this funding has changed in the way that it has, everything we've been doing, we've been planning for, we've been structuring over the last few years, we have been trying to get ready for this day because we saw it coming. And so now everything being funded on outcome base, our mindset's going to change. One of the things that Brenda and I were trying to determine over the weekend is if there's anything in there that says anything about a base year. And we really can't decipher that there's a base year anymore. It's a whole different concept. But it is all being driven by outcomes. So again, cautiously optimistic about that, and we'll keep you updated as we get more information. Brenda, anything you would want to add that you can think of that would be important at this point?
How is that going to impact our budget?
Well,
because if we're not going to know what we're getting from the state until downstream, that affects our...
Yes, it does.
What we do with taxes and so forth.
We should know. We'll have a better idea by the end of June because the committee is supposed to be getting most of its rulemaking work in place. So that's why they're going to be very busy over the next 6 weeks, 5 to 6 weeks. Then by the time it gets to the end of June, they'll be getting it ready because the coordinating board, as I understand it, they have to have their information like 2 weeks in advance before a meeting. And so they're trying to prepare for that. So I think we'll have numbers. What's going to be hard is that the way that we divvy it up amongst our campuses, that is going to be the hardest part, trying to figure out how that all works. So we'll be having to look at that. What we know about SWID is that the SWID money was appropriated the same amount, so we can go ahead and be working on our SWID budgets with not as much concern about change. But, it's going to be an interesting summer. I'll just say that. But time we get, and let me just tell you that we have looked at, as far as the workshop for y'all, anticipating that we would be getting numbers later than normal. We're looking at, like, I think it's August the 14th it's the 14th. We're looking at scooting it back as far as we can so that we have this best information as possible for you during your workshop. And so, again, we will we'll be keeping you informed. Okay. There, again, we're at that part of the session where there are bills that are flying through and changing, and now they're down at that point of negotiating and making final decisions and getting basically in log jams about what they agree on. Could there be a special session that's being thrown around that there could be? But we think that we feel like the community college bill is going to be done. The budget bill, don't know if that would be impacted, could. Anyway, we'll see what happens in the next few days with all that. Okay. I should have shared when I was doing recognitions, two recognitions that I need to bring up. We have a baseball player who got Whackjack Player of the Week in April, the very end of the season, Aaron Manius. I know I got his last name. I messed that up. And then we also had, as far as students making the WACJAC conference teams. We had Aaron as first team infielder, and we also had Nyan Hayes, who was an honorable mention, first team outfielder Keenan Spence, and an honorable mention was Henry Garcia. We've not seen the women's side yet. Anticipate that we'll have someone on that side. And then this weekend, very pleased that Trey Fort, y'all may remember Trey, is one of our basketball players, and he, I'd mentioned, got second team All-American. So the way that it works, the All-Americans are invited to basically an all-star game in Las Vegas, and he attended, participated this last weekend. It was all the All-Americans from across the country that are playing, two teams, and Trey's team won 102-99, and he led the team with 21 points, and he was awarded the MVP. And so, as far as we know, Coach Cooper is researching it, we're not sure the last time a WACJAC player was awarded the MVP of that tournament. So it's a big deal to be able to play in a tournament like that with all those All-Americans, and then for Trey to come out on the top like that, that's a big deal. Okay. Board training, I would mention that it is that time of year that you love when you get to do your cybersecurity training, and we'll be getting in touch with you. Each one of you will be getting the link for the information so that you can do the training. And
we're going to do that every year?
Yes, that is a state law. Sorry.
Do the state legislators have to do that?
I think they do.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, I think they do.
They passed the law to do it.
Yeah, I think.
Is the law say anything about making it new and innovative each year?
No. Okay. We actually, though, Eric, we were trying to figure out. Eric was trying to come up with something different, weren't you, Eric? And
yeah, there's some different ones that spread it out throughout the year.
Yeah. Yeah, we're trying to do that.
That's a bad idea.
Do it one time?
One time.
I
can do that.
Yeah. All right. Okay. We also had the passing, I mentioned, of the student that was very sad last week, and she was in our Surge Tech program. I'm dropping her name. I'm sorry? It's Illy. Yeah. And she passed away. Her services are tomorrow. Okay. Kiana. I was calling her Ileana. Kiana. Okay. That's all that I have, unless y'all have something for y'all that you want to ask me.
Any questions or comments or conversation from the rest of the board? If not, then by the authority granted by the governor of the state of Texas, this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you all. He has signed, but I do not remember where. Does anybody remember where he signed? Mississippi State. Yeah, he was very good.
Okay.
Well, another one in the
belt. Yep.
Looks like we talked somebody into doing that security training for us.
I know it. It's a pain.
Yeah.
It's rear end.
What we will do,
get the 2 hour plane.
We'll put it in a folder. It's a really nice folder, and then we'll send it to the family. Did y'all want to call?
Well,
we're down at the office.
Guess I'll go home and get on a tractor.
That could be something y'all could have as well.
Yeah, that'd be great.
No, I get a bunch of dead cedars I've been cutting up. There's
memorial.
It's been so dry, my cedars are dying. You know, it's hard to kill a cedar.
And then they can.
It's got to be pretty dry.
Yeah.
Or what they want to with them, so.
Yeah.
I think it would be really. Neat.
Right on our entrance way, you know, we had a bunch of cedars there. But
I wish we had it for somebody else.
Yeah.
Cedars that died. I picked down three of them.
I know.
We got a pile of crap, you know.
Legacy we had with Steve, too.
I've got a place right close to my well house that just drops off.
Yeah.
I'll be
finished
over there.
I know.
Yeah, I sprayed the cactus.
Yeah.
It always rains.
Yeah.
It's going to die.
It doesn't know it yet.
He's always doing tax time. It's like, okay, you know. And then we've gotten to the point.
We got a little bit of cactus, not much.
Roger, you know, and he would just.
I say that.
Try to understand it, you know, and then write it down for him. So I'd send him information, you know, because it just,
and it's,
we'll
take it over.
Yeah. And if you're
all around the cedars and everything, except for the deer,
and everything's different for the different
people.
Right. You know, so it's just confusing.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, Bill and John
I'm picking up a bunch of it around the front gate.
For some reason.
Yeah.
Highlight.
You know, I was going to tell you, I saw a kid in the paper, how you had coming.
You already got your cotton dirt ready.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was a really good idea.
Okay.
I mean, because, it's kind of like, what do you say? Except what's on the agenda for all of them? Let everybody know there's going to be a meeting because they want to go.
Yeah.
And I thought the way you did that, I thought that was good.
Well, that was out of necessity, too, because, pressed for time.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I knew after talking to you on Thursday that was probably, you know, you were just trying. But I thought I needed to tell you that I really felt like that was a really good idea.
Well, thank you.
You know, and I'm talking about going forward. You know, when you feel like you have some kind of a semblance of maybe order, you know. But it just makes sense, because what do you say? That, you know?
Well, and that's something that Roger and I used to have conversations about.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to put all the little details, you know, into the article.
Yeah.
And I told him, people would just want to see the highlights. You know, when I'm reading something, I want to know what's happening. I don't want to know all the numbers and all the little details and stuff.
Right.
So I don't understand it. I'll get confused.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
But, so that's how I approach it. And plus, it's necessary now.
Oh, yeah.
For me, you know, to do with.
Well, y'all are.
And just to let people know that what's going on, and if they want to participate, you know, this is where it's at.
Yeah, because, you know, basically everybody knows there's a website.
Mm-hmm.
They can get the agenda.
Yeah.
They can call in. They can, you know, they can obviously attend if they want. And so it's like telling everybody, it's going to be here. Do any of these that you want to do.
Yeah, so you don't have any drive.
Yeah.
You know where to go. That's how I approach things.
Yeah. But I thought that was, good. I knew why you probably did it, but I thought, I'm going to tell you, I really thought it was effective.
Well, thank you.
And it could work going forward.
Well, city council today was full.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm not saying it was just because of, you know, the paper.
Yeah.
The other media outlets are covering it too, but it was packed.
Wow.
What else? I know you told me and I forgot. What were they doing today?
They're talking about decreasing the fire department.
The fire department. Yeah. That's why you told me that.
Yeah, by 5-10 people and closing one of the
places. Yeah.
They've done that before.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah.
And that's not something
yeah.
I think that we have anybody else
doing either,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so that was a lot of, there was a lot of attention to that, obviously.
Yeah, you know, you're going to get me started about, you know, I hate covering those meetings because these are our city leaders,
yeah.
And they start name-calling and picking on, especially Todd Darden. You know, I really feel bad for him because they pick on him and they call him names. You know, and these are grown people and they're supposed to be our, you know, who we look up to and who are, I have to be unbiased.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But
the council members are doing that?
Today? No. Not today. It was
okay.
Somebody else.
Okay. That was
it's
calling.
Probably...
We're sorry, your conference is ending now. Please hang up.